Sunday, March the 3rd, 2024. For some, this day has started just like it has for the past 91 years. 84, 7 years. 26 years. Another Sunday. All across this nation, there are people that are gathered in buildings and they are worshiping God. And they've gathered together as they have each and every Sunday before. And in every congregation, there are scenes that play out in connection with that worship. There are those that prepared themselves to be here this morning, that wanted to be here this morning, that came not only for the worship assembly as we're involved in now, but they came to study God's Word and to learn more from His will. And they put preparation into that. They did their lessons. They looked at the Scripture. They answered the questions that were before the class. And it's a joy for them that they are present this Sunday, March the 3rd. There are others that teach class in the back, and they also prepared. Recognizing that the young ones that they are teaching there in the back are the ones that are hopefully going to be carrying on in worshiping God in spirit and in truth in their individual locations. There are also in these congregations all across this country people that have not even opened their Bible until they came today. Did not prepare their class. They are hurriedly setting down before services begin if they are here early enough, trying to write something down or else at least look into the center references to see if there is something they can make comment on from the center reference, even though it may not apply contextually. But they want to be able to join in. There are class teachers that have not prepared for their lessons in the back. They've not taken seriously who it is that they are teaching and the young minds that they are molding through God's Word and teaching them about God and about their Savior, Jesus Christ. Some are well rested, some are worn completely out. For some, those that are worn out is not the fault of their own. They had sick children during the night. That's understandable. But for others, it was not in preparation for coming here today. They enter into that study, and they're following along in class. And they are participating in the class. They recognize that a class setting, such as we have here and as other congregations also have, is for our learning, so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that we can understand His will for us, so we can share our knowledge one to another of what God would have us to do. Others, they have the thought, well, I'm here because I'm expected to be here. It's out of duty. It certainly is not out of desire. The intermission came here as it does in other places also. There are those that made preparation for coming into the worship assembly when it would start about 15 minutes later. They took care of themselves. They took care of their children. They came out and recognized that they needed to get their minds also, as others were doing, set for the worship service. And to think about God's will for them. And think about what it is that we were doing in worshiping in spirit and in truth. It doesn't just come accidentally. It comes from purpose. There are others that are sitting there and have marked off time. Well, we got through the class. Now we just have to get through the next while. And we can leave. Announcements are made. And those that have prayers to be led in the assembly service, listen to that in case there's something they didn't know in advance about someone so that they could offer a prayer for them. They could word that prayer. Because they are those that recognize that some just give a canned prayer. It doesn't matter what the setting is, what the situations are, nothing else. It's a canned prayer that they've said for years and years and years over and over again. If that's all the ability that they had, well, then God blesses them in that. But with those that have more ability, you understand more is expected. When that prayer is being led, they recognize that it is a participation that they have in that prayer. And it's not just that man up there wording the prayer, but we are involved in that prayer. So at the end of that prayer, we can say amen. For others, there are those that didn't hear any of the words, any of the petitions that were being made before God, and they just say amen because everybody else says amen. The assembly worship begins, and there's a scripture reading. And again, there are those that have looked over their scripture reading. And they realize that every scripture has a lesson that is being taught. And in the reading of that scripture, which they have prepared in advance, they've looked at the words, they're not stumbling through them, and they give inflection upon the points that are being made by the writer of God's Word. Others at the last moment have chosen a passage of Scripture, has not looked at it, mispronounces words, and just stumbles through it. And they, and sometimes others, not edified by that. And there are some in the audience that says, more Bible? The preacher's going to give enough Scripture. Why in the world more Bible? Why more Scripture? And then, as it is here, as it is in other congregations also, the Lord's Supper is about to be observed. And for some, it is the remembrance of Christ's death in connection of how much that they have been forgiven in their life. And it has great meaning to them because much has been forgiven. And they realize not only that, but also the sacrifice it took for that forgiveness. And they think about their Lord Jesus Christ as He hung upon that cross, innocent, the Lamb of God that did no wrong. And that as He hung there, He did so for them. There's sorrow in that thought that He had to die. There is great thanks that He did that because there's forgiveness. And when the bread is being passed and they partake of that bread, they recognize it wasn't only about the death of Christ, it was also about the way He lived. His flesh, His body. The example that was set forth. And then whenever the fruit of the vine is to be taken, they recognize this is the shed blood, this is the power of forgiveness. That I have been forgiven by my Lord for what I have done. I'm partaking of this in remembrance of my Savior. For me and what He has done for me in my life. Others mindlessly down the bread and drink the fruit of the vine and have checked another box in their timekeeping of surely soon this will be over. Songs are sung. Leaders in some congregations have picked out these songs in advance. They look at the songs, they have chosen them for a specific reason. And they sing them also, just as with a scripture reading, with inflection, stressing certain points because they recognize that it's not about the hearing of their voice, but it is about teaching one another, admonishing one another, encouraging one another, and giving praise to their God. Some songs are not sung at the right tempo. We had some good ones this morning that were. Others that lead singing mindlessly lead their songs exactly on the same pitch every time without inflection, singing it the same way without conveying any messages given by the song. Others in the audience sing to hear their voice. And there are those that have beautiful voices. But that's their intent in some of these congregations. They want to be heard. rather than the giving of praise unto God and the teaching and admonishing of brethren in connection with those psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs which we are instructed to use. There are those that do not even open their mouth to sing. They stand there stoic and do not give praise to their God. Now it's time for the preacher to stand before the audience. And there are those that have cleared their minds of the things of this world and are ready to listen to God's word. And they are much like the two men on the road to Emmaus that heard Jesus teach, because the words that the preacher are presenting are from God's word. They're Jesus' words. And they hear those words and they have the attitude that those two men had. Did our heart not burn within us as he spoke to us the words of God? They've come with the intent of not only listening, but also learning, and even more importantly, they've come for the purpose of application in their life. What can I take from this lesson into my life that makes me a better child of God and wanting to do His will more? As soon as the lesson started, there are those in the audience that already have started to yawn. They are already bored. They are already ready for it to be over. How long will this one be? Will this be one of his 20-minute sermons, or will this be one of his 45-minute, 55-minute sermons? I'm going to count the time. I'm not going to pay attention. The invitation song is led. And there are those in the audience that think about, are there needs in my life? Are there needs? Has what has been said today addressed some of those needs, and do I respond to those needs? Do I understand that I have a congregation of brothers and sisters here that are for me, just as my God is, and that in my needs I can come before them and offer prayer on my behalf and be strengthened in my time of weakness? Others, the invitation song is, we're getting closer to getting out the door. It's just about over. We sit down and someone stands before us and talks about supporting the work of this congregation here in contribution. And there are those that have already determined what it is that they're going to give. It's purposed in their heart. They look at how God has blessed them and recognize that in that blessing that has been given to them, that it is not their proceeds that made it, but God allowed that to happen. And now I give back to my God. And there are others in the audience that say, you know, there's a lot of people a lot better off than me. There are things that I want to do with my money. I'm going to let somebody else take care of contributing. There are those that never intended to give, those that never do give, in congregations all across this country. And then a closing prayer is offered. And some of those that word that prayer give thanks to God for the ability that we had to be here today to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that they have been edified, they have been comforted, they have been built up in order to be pleasing unto God, because it was their desire to be here. And others, while the prayer is going on, say, just say amen and let me get out the door. March 3rd, Sunday, 2024. Just like every other Sunday that has taken place. But I want to ask you, what if this was not just any other Sunday? What if this Sunday was different? What if at the last amen on this day, Sunday, March 3rd, 2024, that there is a shout of an archangel that has been made as we walk out the door as stated in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 16. And that there is the herald of God that is mustering His people to Him. You have thought over the years, what is it that the shout of the archangel, what is it that he is saying? And you may say to yourself, maybe he's saying, Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Maybe he is saying, the righteous judge of all. Maybe he is saying nothing more than what Jesus said on the cross, but now in connection with the last day, it is finished. Whatever it is he says, you hear clearly. And as a child of God, it's very recognizable, whatever it is that he says. You recognize it. There is that mustering of the gathering of God's people with this shout, with the herald of the trumpet of God, which stands for that mustering. And you're part of that because you've worshiped your God in spirit and in truth on this day, this Sunday. Suddenly you notice that you've been changed. Your physical body is lying lifeless. And now you are receiving something that is different as far as a body is concerned. It is that which is spiritual. As stated in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter verses 50 through 52, and also as we look in 1 John 3 and verse 2, that we are now not as we were physically, but now we are spiritual as our Savior, because we have worshipped God in spirit and in truth, not only just on this Sunday, March 3rd, 2024, but throughout our lives. You also see that you're joined with the saints that had passed away previously, as stated in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17. Abel is there, Noah is there, Moses is there, Elijah is there. Peter, Paul, James, the brother of John, the first martyr, he's there. And of course, your Lord is there because you see Him. You see Him. You're being assisted at this time by the angels of heaven into the light of heaven. And you had read what would take place just as it did to the beggar. In Luke the 16th chapter and verse 22. And in that assistance that's being given to you, it is there for comfort. They are taking you into the light. And God is that light that will be your light for all eternity. There will be no night there. And you are being assisted into that place where your God is. As soon as these events took place, you were never frightened. You were at peace and comforted because you had lived your life in worshiping God in spirit and in truth with purpose. And you know that you will ever be with Him at this point. There is no separation and there is no possibility of separation. And you're going to be glorified as one of His saints on that day, this day, Sunday, March 3rd, 2024. But you see that as this event took place, there were those that are not in the same condition as you. You see them and they recognize that something is lacking in their life. And they cry out, "No, Lord, no, not now, not this Sunday. I'm not ready." And you hear the words of the atheist as he is going away from you and as you are ascending in to heaven, carried by the angels. "Why did I not believe in you, Lord?" And you hear the words that of those that you worshiped with, or you thought you worshiped with, but rather they were just here. "No, Lord, I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. I was just going through the motions." The accounting then has been received. Those that do not believe in God and those that disobey His will are being carried into the most utter blackness that exists. directly opposite to the realm of God, which is the light. There are so many of these. You look round about you and it's just really so few in comparison. And that's the thought that Jesus gave over in Luke the 13th chapter, verse 23, down through verse 28, that narrow is the way, straight is the gate. Few there be that find it, for many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 22, verse 14. And those that are being carried away are not clothed with that spiritual body like the Lord, but they are unclothed in the sense that without their preparation, they have not put on Christ. And having not put on Christ, there is not afforded to them that glorious body, that glorified body that Jesus has. While all of this is happening, there's a great noise that is taking place. And it is just as Peter had talked about in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 and following. The day of the Lord did come as a thief in the night. You just thought it was another Sunday. And for some, they lived their life as though it would ever be just another day. For some, such as you, you said, this could be the Lord's day. I must be prepared. The heavens are passing away with great noise. The elements are melting with fervent heat. All things that are in the earth of what man built and what God put together, this fabric of time is being torn apart, and there's a great noise in connection with that, and is being destroyed. But you're not frightened. You're not concerned. Because you see, you never lived this life for this earth. You lived this life to enter into the light, into heaven, into which you're being carried. It was never your true home, this earth that is passing away, but rather it was there for the trying of the genuineness of your faith. And you welcomed that because you loved the Lord. You understood that you were just a sojourner and a pilgrim. You understood that the promise that you have was not for this earth, but rather for heaven above, as a child of God. The events have ceased, and all have found themselves in their desired place, as is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, Hebrews 9, verse 27. Those that live their life wanting to be with the Lord are with Him, comforted. And not only that, they're doing everything now that they were doing while they lived. There are no changes. They're still worshiping and praising their God. For others, though, they're in their desired place because they did not live for the Lord. There'll be no changes. Just as Jesus said, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming and now is when all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and come forth. They that have done good into the resurrection of life, they that have done evil into the resurrection of damnation. There is no change because there's this great gulf that is fixed so that those that are with the Lord cannot go to those that are not. And those that are not cannot come to the Lord. Destiny is set for all eternity. As a child of God, you are involved in now continual praise of your God, being comforted, and in the light of His presence for all eternity, as we look in Revelation 15, verses 3 and to the first part of verse 4. Time is no more, because eternity, the true existence, has engulfed time. 1 Corinthians 15, 54, so when this corruptible is put on incorruption and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. It's engulfed. The time of preparation is over. It's too late. The time of looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, is over. It's too late. But that's what you have done because you have served your God in spirit and in truth. And you find yourself standing before your God for all eternity in absolute complete harmony with Him. The question about this day, March 3rd, 2024, the day the Lord returns, the question for you is, how did this day turn out for you? I hope that you've allowed me some poetic license in this lesson to make the point we don't know when the Lord is going to return. It could be March 3rd, 2024, as soon as the last amen is said after this assembly is over. And the teachings that we have from God's Word gives us that preparation so that we will be carried by the angels to the light of heaven, to God Himself, who is our light, to be with Him for eternity. Pushing against that knowledge that has been given to us, rejecting what God says, what Jesus says through His Word, is saying, I don't want to be with Him for eternity. For those that aren't Christians, you can be prepared. God has not left us hopeless. He's not left you hopeless. Jesus Christ died for your sins. You can be obedient to Him and start living that life with a purpose to be in God's light for all eternity. If you have already become a Christian but not lived the way that you should, how did this day go for you? Are you prepared at the last amen for the coming of the Lord if that happened to be March 3rd, 2024? Are you ready? Have you enough oil in your lamps, so to speak, that is a spiritual fiber within your body to serve God, or are you backsliding and going back to old ways? God has left provision for you because His desire is that all be saved. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. All come to repentance. And you have brothers and sisters here that pray with you and for you that will lend support to you if you're in that situation. And so I ask in closing, how did this Sunday go for you? There are those we can help in any way. We ask you to come as we stand and sing.